All glory to Swami.
Hare Krishna.
All glories, all glories to Sri Guru Gauranga. Sometimes they run very late into the dead of night. So some temples they change the schedule. I know even in Washington DC they change the schedule to afternoon. That they have their Sunday program at 12 o'clock. So the number of temples in the West they're changing that. And that is because of the devotees. Some people have to come from long distances so that they feel confidence in driving back home or getting back to their homes. But happy enough, I think you don't have some of the social security problems here. So, so it's nice that you come for this type of Sangha association with the devotees of the Lord. Come to have darshan of Sri Sri Radha Olokananda. This is the most auspicious thing we can do in a weekend. Weekends are packed with so much of social functions. A lot of people are busy in the week from Monday to Friday, and the weekends are a chance to relax and go to nightclubs, drink and drunk and forget our souls. So, you are choosing to come to the temple to purify yourself, coming to have association with the devotees of the Lord. This is very glorious. The path you're choosing is very, it's meritable. It takes only intelligent people to decide to take to this type of decision of spending their Sunday at the temple for the devotees. A number of people, today they go out from the last lap of the weekend. And they are choosing to have their last lap of the weekend to come and associate with Lord Krishna. This is intelligence. So you're welcome. So today we are going to take our discussion from Bhagavad Gita, we take Bhagavad Gita 5, chapter 5, text 17. Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, text 17. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So Bhagavad Gita text 17 of chapter 5. This Bhagavad Gita is called Bhagavad Gita as it is by A.C. Bhaktivedanta. How many of you have Bhagavad Gita as it is? I know a number of people from Indian background, they have Bhagavad Gita. They have read Bhagavad Gita and they have Bhagavad Gita. But most of the Bhagavad Gitas are not Bhagavad Gita as it is. How many of you have Bhagavad Gita as it is? Raise up your hand. Don't feel shy. Be proud of it. Sure. Good. Let's
This is called Bhagavad Gita as it is, because it is as it is. The commentator did not add any spices. It's raw, organic. It's raw and it's organic. It's not cooked. Because a number of us, when something is cooked, we don't buy it. I don't eat anything that is cooked by any non-devotee. So even some, most of the times, my nuts that I offer to my deities, I like to buy them raw. And in America especially, I prefer to go to Whole Food stores to buy them organic. So the thesis in the commentaries of Srila Prabhupada, they are raw and organic. No contamination. No pesticides.
Oh yeah.
So because these days even driving a car could be dangerous. Even staying by the road where cars are flying could be dangerous. People don't know this. Huh? People think that I want to have my house by the road. By the road. But that is the most dangerous thing you can think of. Because of the car pollution causing so much of cancer. Yeah. So, but this Bhagavad Gita is free from road pollutions. No cancer. You don't think about cancer when you're reading this Bhagavad Gita. Finish, you're covered. You are insured. Naturally insured. Alright, so we read chapter 5, text 17. Tat buddhayas tat atmanas tat nishtas tat parayan gajantya puna drita jnana niduta kama saha tat buddhayas tat atmanas tat nishtas tat parayan gajantya puna drita jnana niduta kama saha tat buddhayas tat atmanas tat nishtas tat parayan gajantya puna drita dvitim jnana niduta kama saha. So, kindly respond to the word-for-word translation, and then we'll go to read the translation and purport, all by His Divine Grace, His Confounded Child, Srila Prabhupada. So, kindly respond to repeat, tat buddhayaha,
tat buddhayaha,
tat buddhayaha,
tat buddhayaha.
Those whose intelligence is always in the Supreme.
Those whose intelligence is always in the Supreme.
Tat atmanaha,
tat atmanaha.
Those whose minds are always in the Supreme.
Those whose minds are always in the Supreme.
Tat nishtaha,
tat nishtaha.
Those whose faith is only meant for the Supreme.
Those whose faith is only meant for the Supreme.
So if someone is called Nishta, is one devotee called Nishta?
Yeah.
She's here?
No, she's gone.
Okay, so if someone is called Nishta, it means someone whose faith is only meant for the Supreme. No faith in the conditioned soul. Powerful. Tat parayanaha. One who have completely taken shelter of him. Who have completely taken shelter of him. Gachanti.
Gachanti.
Go.
Go.
Apuna dritim.
Apuna dritim.
To liberation.
Liberation.
Jnana.
Jnana.
By knowledge.
By knowledge.
Niduta.
Niduta.
Cleansed.
Cleansed.
Kamasaha.
Kamasaha.
Misgivings.
Misgivings.
So translation of the word by Divine Grace is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Very good. When one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. Please kindly respond, repeat. When one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge.
Are all fixed
in the Supreme.
In the Supreme.
Then one becomes fully cleansed. Of misgivings.
True complete knowledge.
And thus proceeds. Straight on the path of liberation.
Liberation.
The supreme transcendental truth is Lord Krishna. The whole Bhagavad Gita centers around the declaration that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. That is the version of all Vedic literature. Paratattva means the supreme reality, who is understood by the knowers of the Supreme as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the last word in the Absolute. There is nothing more than that. The Lord says, Mata Paratara Nanya, Kinsit Asti Jnanjaya. Impersonal Brahman is also supported by Krishna. Brahmanuhi Pratistha, Pratistha. Brahmanuhi Pratistha. Therefore, in all ways, Krishna is the Supreme Reality, one whose mind, intelligence, faith, and refuge are always in Krishna, or in other words, are one who is fully in Krishna consciousness is undoubtedly washed clean of all misgivings, and is in fact knowledge, and is in perfect knowledge in everything concerning transcendence. A Krishna conscious person can thoroughly understand that there is duality, simultaneous identity and individuality in Krishna, and equipped with such transcendental knowledge, one can make steady progress on the path of liberation. Om Jnana Timiratasya Jnana Jana Salakaya Sakshur Unmeditam Jena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manojistam Stavitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Tadatiswa Padantikam Vandi Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Subhod Padothaya Pushpavanto Chitra Chandra Tumon Vancha Kalpatari Vyacha Kripa Sundhya Evacha Patitana Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Parvanityana Sri Advaita Dharara Sivasa Goa Hare Krishna. So this is very good. Everything that we do, we like to come to the point that Krishna, Hare, Rama, This is what Prabhupada has taught us. What someone else taught you may be different. Let's have a common base. We are brothers. We are sisters. Forget the difference. Let's work as a team. Acha?
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Semate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namini Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pachari Me Nimi Sita Swami Vrani Pachari.
So, again, welcome for coming to our Sunday Feast program. We want to encourage you to keep coming. Make this place your primary home, your husband's home, your wife's home, your father's home. That should be the secondary home. Okay? Krishna is the Supreme Father. This is the family house. You know, we find out. We all stay in our grandparents' home at some point in time. If we don't stay there during the holidays, we go there. Then when we grow, we also become independent. We have our own house. But again, family house is the base. If there's a dispute, again we run down there. If we get sacked by the husband, we run back there. If we get sacked by the wife, we run back there. If we get some trouble with the other people, we run back there. This is where we run to. This is the family house. So, because Krishna is the Supreme Father, and we are all his children. So, yes. So this verse is very relevant to our everyday reality. It's talking about fixing the mind, fixing intelligence, fixing our faith, having our refuge, taking shelter of Lord Krishna. This verse is simply summing up one basic text in the Bhagavad Gita, 1866, where the Lord Krishna says, "Surrender unto me, don't fear, march with us." We are always afraid to fix our intelligence on Krishna, to fix our mind on Krishna, to fix our refuge on Krishna. We are always afraid, and sometimes we don't know our left and right. We don't know what to do. We are so much full of doubts. Doubting itself is very good. But to doubt reasonably is super good. But to doubt for the sake of doubting is meaningless. If you simply take doubting as a process, and you want to keep doubting everything, you really doubt yourself. The only thing you may not doubt is that when you lie down on bed and try to read, you will fall asleep. And you can experiment it. So, if you want to doubt everything, that's all right. Then it would be a waste of time to doubt everything. There are certain things that we do, and there are certain things that we believe. Just like we walk, we have faith that when we set a foot forward, we will not sink into the earth because there is no earthquake. We have faith that when we put our foot, a step forward, we will again draw the other foot and put that also forward. This is faith. Otherwise, without faith, you can't really do anything. You can't even move. You can't take a bus to go to school. And you can't even drive your car. Faith is a constant. The variable is the object of our faith. So, Krishna is saying, we fix our faith on him. We will be purified. Intelligence is meant for discrimination. There are different types of intelligences. There is emotional intelligence. There is social intelligence. There is also spiritual intelligence. And so if we simply intellectualize or try to exercise our mundane intelligence for social works, for social purposes also, social intelligence means we know how to manipulate the material energy. We need how to, manipulate social ventures, societal issues. So there are so many people there who have very high social intelligence. But it's all about themselves, not about Krishna. That is the problem of social intelligence. And for someone to rest his life or to use social intelligence as the pivot of his life, we see that he will glide down to hell. Because everything that he sees or she sees, they would always evaluate it to suit their social needs. But life is not all about social needs. There are also spiritual needs. There are even religious needs, ethical needs, moral needs. And therefore, our thought patterns have to be shifted. We have to get into a different paradigm shift. That of thinking, having a higher order type of thinking. Higher order type of thinking means we try to focus our intelligence discrimination on objectives that are not going to wane, that are not going to deteriorate with time. And that is when spiritual intelligence comes to play. We see people, even some young children, their emotional intelligence is very high. But emotional intelligence is what? Emotional intelligence is also very good. If we don't have emotional intelligence, we will become slaves to our mind and our senses. A lot of people suffer because they don't have any emotional intelligence. They're not able to control their mind, they're able to control their senses. And then they run into big problems. They have very good intentions. Good intention is not enough. Without emotional intelligence, we can run into problems. And even beyond emotional intelligence, we have to have spiritual intelligence to understand Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Sabjate. To understand Krishna is true, Bhagavan Swaya. To understand Aham Mameti. To understand Aham Brahmasmi. This is spiritual intelligence. Social intelligence has to do with the manipulation of social values, manipulation of emotions. Emotional intelligence means how to be able to control our emotions, our senses. And people who have emotional intelligence, they can be leaders of the whole universe, not only on our planet. Rupa Goswami hints on emotional intelligence in the Upanishad. Vasho Vega, Manasa Prodha Vega, Jiva Vega, Udhava Pasta Vega, Etam Vega, Etam Vega. That is a tip of off the iceberg. And we see how many people are suffering in this world, even in our devotional communities. How many people have very good intention, they have very good position, and then the next moment, so, we should not be so proud of our social intelligence. Social intelligence alone does not make any good. That is why we need to purify our mind. We need to fix our mind on Krishna for that purification. We need to purify our intelligence. We have to focus our intelligence. We have to have our intelligence fixated in Krishna consciousness. Then intelligence, the modern intelligence, the material intelligence, could become purified. And there will be so much justice that will be done with purified intelligence. As people, we go around preaching, we see so many people, they tell us, oh, this philosophy is so nice. You know the problem? I can't practice anything. And I remember one girl, New York and Columbia, one of the most prestigious universities in the U.S. So I went there to give a talk. So, if I went there, she was communicating with one of my secretaries. And then, you know, very brilliant girl. She is one of the local leaders in some organization. And she said, oh, this, she was speaking that this is a philosophy, I like it very much, but I cannot do without sex. She was just straightforward. I can't do without sex. Philosophy is very good, but you know, this one to restrict, you know, restrain and check and control yourself. And some people, they'll just tell you, I like a philosophy, but meat, what's wrong with meat? Although they know that meat brings a lot of trouble, embolic heart diseases. So it is not that people don't know the wrong things. People don't have the willpower to check themselves from doing the wrong things. Even intoxication, for instance. You see, we don't make laws. We follow Shastric injunctions. And therefore, if we are preaching even to someone, we should not put laws at the front. Because it's like telling somebody, get out of here, get out of here. I'm superior to you. I follow all these things. You can't follow anything. Get out of here. Because how many people out there are talking about emotional intelligence? How many people are there? No. What makes the whole world click is social intelligence. That's all. So the intelligence that Krishna is referring to here is spiritual intelligence. When intelligence becomes purified, it becomes purely spiritual. And then we will not be shaken, even in a misty storm. That is a symptom of spiritual intelligence. That there may be so, the waves in the ocean may be so intense. And a man of spiritual intelligence, a woman of spiritual intelligence in Krishna consciousness is fixated. It is not that problems are not going to come. The world, the material world is a place of problems. But if we take to Krishna consciousness, which is very simple, simple as A, B, C, we will stand to gain. It doesn't take anything. We're not saying stop your work. We're not saying don't marry. We're not saying don't eat. We're not saying don't put on nice clothes. Put on nice clothes, do everything you want to do. Just have Krishna as a center. That's all. We don't need to make a show of austerity. We don't need to put on torn clothes just to show that, you know, I am detached. So it's a matter of knowing what is to be done, how to utilize our mind, what to fix our mind on, what to fix our intelligence on, and to seek refuge only in Krishna. Only in Krishna. In other words, like in the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what is required here is what? Bhakti and no classia bhava. We do those things, we use these subtle elements in the service of the Lord, and that helps to fix us up in our devotional culture. Otherwise, the life could be so disturbing. But even in the midst of all of these disturbances, the devotee, look at the case of Prabhupada. A pure devotee, he came from India. Aboard Jaladuta, he almost died of sea disease. He would say, what? I'm going to America. My Guru Maharaj gave me an order. And this is the problem I have to face. What is this? I'm 9 years old. I'm an old man. And this is what I again said. As a reward, sea disease. Even when he was in New York, his house was burgled. Sometimes the things that happened even just recently, some few years back, or a decade or 2 decades back, or 3 decades back, or even 4 decades back, we tend to shy away from the reality that even the pure devotees face challenges. Even the pure devotees face challenges. So, what about us? He was given an order at an advanced age. He left India 69. He almost died aboard the Bajala Dutta. So when America, so much of struggle in the beginning, even his house was robbed. He was poor, his house was borrowed. He became frustrated and said, I'm going back to Vrindavan, I'm going to live a peaceful life. But he had the order of his spiritual master. See, the concept of refuge is so significant. When we have proper refuge, when we take proper shelter, Krishna will empower us. We'll become so creative. We generate so many powerful ideas to serve the Lord. And it's not that the devotees of Lord Krishna, even Lord Krishna surgeons, even the cowherd boys, they face challenges. But because they had Krishna as a refuge, they have full faith in Krishna. Krishna gave them the intelligence, the spiritual intelligence, the generated idea to be able to serve Krishna. I give you a typical example. One time, Krishna was with some of his intimate friends. And he told Subhas, hey Subhas, you know what? Subhas said, yes, tell me. Go and bring Radharani right now. I mean, it's like trying, a fowl to pass urine. You know fowl? How many of you have seen fowl? Or hen? We were brought up in the village. We saw fowl. We saw hen. These are domestic birds. Chicken. Live chicken. A live chicken, whatever the birds, they don't urinate. They pass through and urinate at the same time. So asking Subhas to go and bring Rani is asking, it's like asking a bird to urinate. Which is almost impractical. Asking someone to do impractical things. Giving an order for someone to do an impractical service. But Rani was being monitored by the mother-in-law and the sister-in-law. The mother of Abhimanyu and Abhimanyu's sister. They were the cops, the police. They were policing the Rani. And Krishna asked Subhas to go and bring the Rani without wasting time. So, and Subhas is one of the close friends of Lord Krishna. We should hear this. I want to become a disciple. I'm aspiring for such and such Maharaj. It's not so easy to be a disciple. It's not so easy. So Subhas, one of the intimate disciples of Krishna, his friend, Krishna gave an order, you do this, go and bring the Rani. It's like asking someone to go to the jail and bring out a condemned criminal. Go and bring him out. How are you going to do that? But Subhas did it. And listen to the story. So when Krishna gave this order, Subhas just thought, wow, what is to be done here? I want to please my Lord. What can I do? He had faith that whatever Krishna tells him, he must do. You see, we are talking about Krishna's car and boyfriend, people jumping on Krishna, and Krishna will carry them like a horse. It's not so easy to come to that platform of Krita Punja Punja, or Krita Punja Punya, or Krita Punja Punya, or whatever. It's not so easy to have a heap of pious merit to come to be an associate of Lord Krishna, to jump onto Krishna's shoulder, to be carried like a horse, playing around with Krishna in the fields. So easy. So this order was given to Subhas. Subhas calculated. He thought, yes, I'm going to do it. So he went. He went to Yawa. He went to Abhimanyu's house. And the mother was just sitting right at the gate. So he said, Ma, I lost my cart. Can I go to your barn to check? With my cart straight to your barn. She knows these Krishna's friends.
She said, hey, go there and come out as quickly as ASAP, as quickly as possible. As soon as possible. So Subha, you know, straight he went in, and he went straight to Radharani's chambers. She was there with her, you know, a gopi friend. So he whispered to Radharani, Krishna wants to ride. She said, what is the door? You know how that woman is. Subha said, this is what I told her, that I lost my calf, and I'm going to pick one of the calves in a barn. Let's exchange clothes. You take my kai clothes, I take your sari, dress like you. So you dress like me, then you carry this calf, then you know, if you dress like that, she's going to detect you. You have breast, I don't have breast. So put the calf on your chest, and don't talk to her, just move out. So, Radharani followed, a charm, that seems good. So she carried the calf, she dressed like, dressed like Subha, put on the turban, you know, she carried the calf and put on her chest, and she just went straight, she went out, straight to Krishna. The Subha was stuck inside. Anyway, babe, the job has been done. The job has been done. Whether he got stuck inside or whatever, it's not a problem. The thing is, Krishna is satisfied that Radharani has gone, okay? This is work. This is called work. Creativity. The pure devotees are very creative. They generate powerful ideas that will transform the whole world. I remember the case of Prabhupada when he was in Vrindavan. So one of the writings that I saw, his plans, his strategies on how to come to the West to establish Krishna consciousness. One of the writings he had mentioned how by hook or crook he wants to change the people in the West. He thought, if even it takes him to allow them to eat meat just to transform in initial state, just to be able to transform them later, he will do it. And so you found in his case, when he came to the West, he came to New York, he was holding caterers. He didn't tell anyone about rules and regulations. He would cook, make gulab jamuns and serve all those hippies when they came. Serve them, and then there's a pot of gulab jamun, you know, by the door. So you eat until you come here. And then, you know. He didn't put any rules and regulations, and tacitly he followed his plan. In other words, he didn't put rules and regulations before his audience. He gave them the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
If we follow even Prabhupada's footsteps, we see that to preach to people, to change people, could be very easy. Prabhupada served those hippies. He served them. He gave them Krishna Prasad. He gave them the holy name. He gave them love. He loved them. And so there was a reciprocation from these young boys and girls. This elderly person is doing so much for us. And then they started doing some service. People come to our temples, we should not tell them, hey, come and do this, hey, come and do this, hey, come and do this. I remember one day, I don't want to mention the temple. I was on a tour. So I went to one of the holy theaters. And then immediately I went to the guy who how do they call it? The guy was supposed to give me the key to my room. So immediately as I was there trying to wait for my, trying to collect the key, you know, one of these devotees, one of the sub managers, he came. He was the one who arranges classes, people who give classes. So immediately he came to me and said, "Oh Maharaj, can you help to give Bhagavatam class tomorrow?" I said, "I don't have problem with giving Bhagavatam class. In a moment, even if I'm sleeping, you want me to give class, wake me up, I'll come and give the class. I'm not going to academic conference, we have to go and prepare. But this is not the way we are training this movement. I'm your guest. I came to your temple. First, you should give me some water to drink. Before you give me water to drink, get me a place to sit down. Tell me, this is where you will sleep. Take some water to drink. This is very culture." I told him, "If you can do this to a sannyasi, I come to your temple. You don't care whether I have a place to stay or nothing. All your mind is how to engage me. If you can do this to a sannyasi, how much more you can exploit these people who come around?" He felt very bad. He felt very bad. I said, "See, I have opened. I have an open book of objectivity. I want to help you. My good mother told me, Vasudev, you should help the young devotees in a moment. I want to help you. You don't know your duty. You are offensive. If you do this to some other sannyasi, they won't tell you. They will go out and spoil the name of your temple and your management. They will tell other sannyasis, this is what happened when I went to this temple, this boy acted like this to me." I said, "Me, as I speak with you, it's finished. I won't report it to anybody, but that's okay, it's finished." So we became friends. So the point is, that was completely the opposite of Prabhupada's system. Prabhupada, the people who came to him, he served them. He loved them. And in that way, they reciprocated with high density love, rooted in service. If we want to make people to serve, we want to make people to donate to our temple, to our projects, we should have service attitude. We want people to come back to our temples, to be with us, to give us association. We should develop service attitude. I'm not saying that you people are not having service attitude. I was surprised how service-oriented the devotees here are. In some temples, especially in America, you know, we do everything by ourselves in some places. And in the 2019, when I was a brahmachari in the U.S., you know, made me to be real, you know, completely independent, more independent fellow, you know. So some places I go and then, you know, they come and ask me, "Mother, you have anything, any clothes to wear?" I said, "No, I have to wash my clothes." I mean, I need the clothes, you could hire it for me. Yeah, because of the training we receive when we're brahmacharis. So that you don't expect somebody, "Hey, I'm a big guy, you don't know I'm a sannyasi, hey, come and do this for me, hey, come and do this." It's not required. A devotee should be humble. A devotee should be humble. When we see ourselves as servants, we want to serve, then we are making advancement. Devotional what? Service. Devotional what?
Service.
Are we doing service? Everybody who is coming to this temple, we should ask ourselves, what is my service to Radha, Goloka, Nanda? If all of us are having some service to do to Radha, Goloka, Nanda, this temple, the management will not be in anxiety. But who has to do what? Choose one day where you come and cook Raja Boga, if you are initiated, or a Brahmin. Choose a day to come and cook Raja Bol with your wife. And choose a day you can come and do the arti in the afternoon or in the evening. Choose a day you come and put the deity to rest. This is devotional service. This is how to make progress. This is how to fix the mind on Krishna. This is how to fix our faith on Krishna. This is how to take refuge in our Krishna. It's just, everything is very practical. There's nothing theoretical. If we make it a theoretical construct, we will not make rapid advancement in devotional service. Therefore, it is important for us to imbibe a culture of fixation of intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge on Krishna's lotus feet. We have to engage. Krishna mentioned Marmana Bhavama Mabyas. Engage your mind. That is fixing the mind on Krishna. Engage your mind in thinking of me, thinking of Krishna. So these are the same statements, but Krishna is an expert preacher, an expert teacher will say one thing in 100 different semantics. He say one thing, directed to one thing, but according to the personality, according to his status, he will communicate with that person accordingly. So here he's saying, fix your intelligence, fix your faith, fix your mind. How are you going to fix your mind on Krishna? Thinking of him? How are you going to fix your intelligence? Reading the scriptures? How are you going to fix your refuge, your faith? The holy things are there when we engage ourselves in devotional service. It becomes easy. There are no semantical differentiations there. All of them are encapsulated in the same devotional process. So in Kali Yuga, the age where there is so much of degradation, the prescribed duties, the prescribed religious function is to engage our tongue in glorifying Lord Krishna. Seva mukhe hi jiva do. The service begins with the tongue, and that tongue. The tongue has dual functionality. The tongue is used for wagging. Tongue is used for vocalizing. Tongue is used for eating. The tongue is used for munching or eating, whatever you want to call it. And it's also used for vocalizing, talking, singing, talking. People are singing, big musicians. They have, you know, fans all over the world. They're singing about the glories of the illusory energy. A devotee uses his tongue to glorify Krishna's internal potency, Lord Krishna's pastimes. He gets beautified. The big fans, the celebrities, the musicians, they use their tongue, the same tongue. They use it different ways, different results. So, we have to be very wise to use our lives in a very positive way, so as to leverage our state of affairs, so that we can become like we can act like a lotus who sits on the water, on the ocean, but does not sink. Just this is spiritual intelligence. If we focus on Krishna, if we perform devotional service, we become like lotus. Who sees of water and does not sink? And this devotional service is a very simple process. It begins with hearing and chanting Krishna's holy names. Maharaj Brikshi describes the chanting as a medicine that we drink, a juicy medicine that we drink, not through the mouth, through the ears. And so, sometimes people read the scriptures, they want to do yoga, they want to go and do meditation. People perfect their meditation, perfect their lives through meditation. You know how many months Dhruva performed his austerities? Chanting, doing some meditational chants. At one time he was just eating only leaves, the other time he was only breathing air.
and the whole universe got choked up. And the demigods went to complain to Lord Brahma, we can't breathe. What is going on? Brahma investigated. One little boy, Kumara, 1 to 5. In a Vedic culture, we have the development, we have 4 stages of development. The 4th stage is Kumara, 1 to 5. A Kumara choking the whole universe. And so sometimes the kids, they say, I'm very small. I'm just a small child. I have so many homeworks to do. There's no time for japa. Mommy knows, daddy knows. No time. I was speaking with one boy, very smart, clever boy in DC. So I said, hey, how many of you are chanting? I love Maharaj. I have plenty of homework. He's very smart. I have plenty of homework. I said, see, you have plenty of homework. You think you're the 4th person to go to school? So I told him this story that he's 12 years old. So he used homework as a cover. So I told him that, if you don't want to do something, you're very smart. The kids are very smart. They want to do something, they will always have some excuse. And the parent also will say, yes, yes. You know, you're busy with homework. You're schooling, so. So I told him that, hey, see, I saw your mate in New Jersey. I went to give a talk during the last Ram Navami. So after the talk, this 12-year-old boy, 6-year-old boy, the elder sister is 8.5 years old. When I was giving the class, because normally if I'm giving class, I like to throw questions to the audience to stimulate their thinking. So each time I throw questions to the audience, the men, nobody would answer. I told to the ladies or to the managers, I used to see only one hand, one little girl. She would answer all my questions. I said, what? So when I finished, I was telling this boy the story. So when I finished the class, it was night, so I was going to, the devotees who brought me took him into the temple. So I saw a little boy, this 6-year-old boy, he came to pay obeisance. I mean, outside. And it's winter. It's snowing, full of business. I said, no, come on, hey, this is America, you don't need to do this. So, and then the sister also paid business. They paid some respect. So I said, hey, you are the girl who was answering all of the questions. She said, yes, yes, yes. I said, and this is a brother? She said, yes. So I said, how old are you? He said, 6. 6 years. Listen, 6 years. The sister, 8.5 years. So if you have your children who tell you you're busy for homework, listen to this. Listen to this. So a lady and a man were standing by. So then I was, that's the girl who was answering my question. So I was fumbling this boy's head. And so I asked that. So I asked jokingly that, how many rounds you're chanting? How many rounds you're chanting? Then he said 16 rounds. So I ignored him. I thought he's not telling me. I was not hearing him properly. So I just ignored him. So then I was exchanging some talks with the sister. Sister told me her age and all this. So then, before I left, so I came back to this boy. And then I was asking her, how many rounds you chant? Then the lady who was standing by, not knowing that is the mother, and then the other man is the father. So the lady said, Maharaj, 16 rounds. So that was the greatest shocker for me for 2014. 6 years old boy chanting 16 rounds. And they told me that he's very, very scholarly. The sister also. And I could see that in the class. The grown-up people don't have the answer. You see her hand always off. So So I told this boy in visitor, see, 6 years old boy, you are 12 years old, 6 years old boy. The parents are devoted, like your parents. 6 years old boy, he chants 16 rounds. The sister, 8.5 years old, chants 16 rounds. You, 12 years old, he say you're busy with homework. The same American. Then he felt defeated, so he left. So the point I'm making is Krishna consciousness is very easygoing, it's very simple. It depends on what input you make, you get the results. Nobody's going to force anyone. But if you make any input you make, you get the results. So we should start to cultivate some faith, some deep faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. These stories are meant to build our faith. This is the point. It's not just, you know, I had a nice story the other day. No. It's not an entertainment. It's to stimulate us to build greater faith, deeper faith in the process. So I'd like to stop here. Maybe there are some comments, some questions. Yes. So just for your information, I'll be leaving tomorrow at about 2 o'clock, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So I'll be leaving for Krishna Balaram Temple. I'm hoping to be in the country for about 14 days. Then I'll be dashing to South Africa. And then I'll come back here to live here to India. But when I come back, I will not stay long. I just come from South Africa, and then for a few days, and I'm leaving for India. But I can tell you one thing. I think that I can come to your country even twice a year. But I like this season. This season is very good. Although people are complaining that it's cold. If I came, you know, I had alarm. People raise alarm. Hey, this is very cold. I know one girl, she sent me a message, one teenager. She sent me a message and said, this place is very cold. You don't carry shorts and come here. you carry winter clothes and come. I said, it's all right. I mean, like when I was going to Lucknow in India for a conference, the professor, they just raised so much of alarm. Hey, it's cold here, man. Come with one clothes. And I carry all my winter jacket from the US and I went there all thick jackets for winter. And I saw that it's like, you know, it's like a fall season or, you know, spring. And they're raising so much alarm and then they made me to carry clothes and then I just dumped the clothes in India because I was living from India to Africa. So also here I just got some false alarm. It's very cold here and, you know. But this season is very good. As far as I know, it's very good for me. So any comments or questions? Yes. Again, we thank you for coming, spending the time to come to the temple, Sunday program, to participate in the theater, in the Bhagavad Gita hearing. Very good. We encourage you to take up the process of Krishna consciousness. If you don't have beads, get a set of beads and start chanting. Because in Kali Yoga, the prescribed religion is to chant the holy names of the Lord. If you want to go into the forest and do your meditation, not in Kali Yoga. How many years you can do meditation? Meditation, people used to do it for 65,000 years before they can attain perfection. How many thousand years you're living on the planet? Yeah. All right. If there's no comment or questions, then we have to adjourn this meeting to some other time. Any comments or questions? The talk is very simple, so I don't anticipate that you have any challenging questions to approve. Okay, if you don't have comments or questions, maybe there are some disapprovals or some challenges. You know, if someone takes something, you can also challenge the person. Are there challenges? Are there some questions? Are there some comments?
Yes. Is it a challenge or a question?
It's a question.
Okay.
Maharaj, I've heard like if you associate with a sadhu, we become a sadhu. You associate with the thief, we become a thief.
Yeah.
But when we speak about Bhagavad Gita, we see that Arjuna was really close to Krishna. He was associating personally with Krishna. So how come he became bewildered?
Yeah.
Because I mean, Krishna is God.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't supposed to be bewildered.
Yeah.
So how come he got bewildered?
Oh, that's a nice question. You see, what Arjuna, in the first place, it was a drama. This was a theatrical setting. Arjuna was playing the role of a conditioned soul, a bewildered soul. But he was not bewildered. There was no time that Arjuna was bewildered. Arjuna is a nitya-siddha. So when they came to perform some type of pastime, Arjuna taking the role of a bewildered soul. I mean, it's like if you study theater arts, you can take up any role. Or even in our temple, sometimes there are plays. Those plays that people, you know, organize and set up, those are very powerful turning points in our lives. Because this is something that people have to study for several years in university to get a degree in theater arts. So, for instance, someone is acting as Lord Ramachandra. Someone is acting as Ravana. But none of the devotees is Ravana. None of them is Ramachandra. But they are playing those roles. So, because it's a drama, they are assuming some roles. So Arjuna also assumed the role of a conditioned soul, a bewildered soul. But Arjuna is a nitya-siddha. So we have to understand why Krishna allowed that to happen. He wanted to teach, he wanted to let us know how we in this material world, in these incarcerations, we are bewildered because of false identification with material affinities. We're thinking in terms of I and mine, Hammamati. This is my family. This is mine. This is I. And Arjuna was portraying all of those negative values. These are my family. How can I kill them? It is better for me to suffer defeat. We don't want to do the service given to those who can always rationalize. That's a good point. We don't want to do the service given to us. We can always put up a front to give us a reason. But when we do the service, even if it is challenging, we get purified. Arjuna executed the service. Krishna convinced him. He surrendered. He did the service. He got him credit. Anytime we have to do something, some service, a devotional service, it is not our making. It is designed for us to take the credit. It is designed for us to get purified. But it is not our making. We are simply asked to be instruments to execute that order. Can a nail claim to be the brain behind the success of fixing a table? Can a nail really claim? A nail is an instrument used by the carpenter. Krishna is the supreme carpenter. He wants us to be used as instruments. We should be submissive. That's why Krishna told Arjuna, everything has already been done. You simply go forward, go get the credit. Do it. It is not you doing it. Just pretend as if you are doing it. I have done everything. Whether you do it or not, these guys, they are done. So that's a nice one. Nice question. All right. And okay, there's some question from the man. I need at least one question from the bandages. Otherwise, we are not going.
There's no feast today.
There's no feast today. You have to generate a question. Mataji, someone to save the Matajis. Or save us from fasting. We want to go and eat. See, it is the Matajis that are holding us. Yes, any comments or questions on the Matajis? Yes? Alright, Srila Prabhupada.
Bhakti Vasudeva Swami Maharaj.
Jai.